This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, Episode 3 for December 13th, 2005. TechCrunch.
Yes, we're going to be talking to Michael Arrington, and he is at the Syndicate Conference in San Francisco. We're going to talk to him a little bit about RSS and feeds and what's happening with Web 2.0. TechCrunch is all about Web 2.0. So he tends to review products and services that have come out, and he kind of goes pretty deep on a lot of these services, and it's a great place for anyone interested in Web 2.0 to learn about what's out there.
And is the Syndicate Conference about RSS?
Yeah, mainly. It's mainly about RSS, about syndication, and Michael does a lot of posts about syndication and what's happening in that space, because it really is helping to drive forward Web 2.0 and a lot of these services that are out there, because it's getting the content out there and people able to subscribe, access it, and pull the content down, and the services get quite popular.
Michael joined us via Skype from San Francisco.
Before we go into what's happening there, I wanted you to just define Web 2.0.
Okay, well, you know, a lot of people have different definitions, and I even took a shot at defining Web 2.0 on my blog, although that was back in June, and I think even my own thinking has evolved. But to me, what's really interesting is the facilitation of conversation. And I really look at this in two ways. One is Fred Wilson shaped a lot of my thinking on this on a blog post he had done back in February that compared GeoCities to blogging.
And just for anyone who doesn't know, who's Fred Wilson?
Fred Wilson is the founding partner, one of the founding partners of Union Square Ventures, and has a very popular blog called AVC, although the URL is not avc.com. You'd have to do a search for Fred Wilson. But he has a very popular blog where he talks about new ventures, but he also talks about music and other things. Does a weekly podcast with his family and things like that. But Fred did a post back in, I think, February of this year that compared blogging today to GeoCities, and it was really formative for me in thinking about all the different ways that blogs facilitate conversation as opposed to an old static homepage that you had years ago with, you know, don't want to pick just on GeoCities, pick on just them, but things have changed so much, and so much of what's evolved that it facilitates conversation that for me, that's the most interesting part of what Web 2.0 is, and I think that what that's done is it's push this incredible amount of content creation to the edge of the network. Blogs are at the very edge. It's one person just saying what he or she thinks about a topic, but in the aggregate, the blogosphere has created so much content on the edge and so much interaction on the edge that it's really interesting. And that's, so when I look at a company, I really look at how are they contributing to that, and whether or not I write about them.
So one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you, obviously, is because you do TechCrunch and you always have great reviews of new products and services coming out. But also we wanted to talk a little bit about RSS and syndication and feeds and the popularity of those on the web. Because obviously that's, you know, one of the biggest changes on the web in the past year or so, is that a lot of people are subscribing to feeds, they're getting content, they're pulling it down from their computers. So what do you think is happening right now with feeds in terms of allowing people to, you know, do their own publishing, and how is it changing things?
Well, it's exciting. I mean, you know, the functionality in feeds, particularly around enclosures and things like that, has been around for a while now, but it's getting much easier to use, and people who don't necessarily know what RSS stands for are using it and enjoying it without even knowing about it. And so some of the stuff that, and particularly Yahoo and Google are doing, and Microsoft is getting into this as well, to really make things user-friendly, is what excites me the most, because that's what brings on the mass adoption. But clearly we're seeing, you know, a huge consumer adoption of RSS, whether they know it or not. And I think that's a very interesting trend.
Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know, it's really simple syndication. And you'll notice it on a lot of sites that you go to, they'll have sort of a tiny orange box where you're able to subscribe to that feed. And I know on TechCrunch you talk about a lot of services like FeedBurner, and I was wondering if you could update us a little bit in terms of news in the RSS space.
Yeah, so I think the two big trends that I'm most interested in are the first one, which I already said, which is that the Yahoos of the world are creating tools that make it really easy for people to just subscribe to any sort of website that they want. So on your Yahoo homepage, you can get the New York Times, the daily New York Times content delivered right to Yahoo. And whether or not people understand that they're using a technology called RSS, they are, and that's great. The other trend is that people are starting to build applications or think about new applications that use our RSS sort of bidirectionally, or build web services into RSS. And Microsoft, I think, has been, interestingly, on the forefront of this. Back in November, Ray Ozzie at Microsoft announced, I think it's SSC, which stands for Simple Sharing Extensions, and it turns RSS bidirectional, and an example of that is you can use the RSS technology to share calendars, your calendar with other people, and in an asynchronous way, they can update your calendar and add their own stuff in, and it'll shoot that data back to you. Previously, RSS was only one way. You could shoot data to people, but you couldn't get data back, and so that's interesting.
And what about some of the news that's coming out in terms of, I know Yahoo recently acquired Delicious, and we had a little conversation about that, and what do you think's happening there in terms of them taking over?
I think there's two trends that Yahoo is jumping onto. One is tagging, and they've obviously started that when they acquired Flickr last year, and I think that what Delicious is doing around tagging is also very interesting and has real implications on search and making search better, because you're creating user content, and users are telling us what a web page is all about, which in some cases is more interesting than what a computer tells us a web page is all about. And so I think that's one trend. But I also just think it's Yahoo saying that even though with Web 2.0, which was a competitor to Delicious, was in almost every aspect a superior product, I think they recognized that sometimes being late to market, which they were, means that they can't overcome the network effect that the first to market player introduced, and so I think that that's just a sign of them saying, okay, we want to acquire Delicious because even though it doesn't have as much functionality as our existing product, it has all the users, and I think that's great.
And how do you think Delicious will change, if at all?
I don't know. That's the big question. And a lot of people, I've seen some buzz on the blogosphere. A lot of people are talking about pulling their data out of Delicious because they're worried that Yahoo might silo it somehow or do something that people don't want done with their data. I don't think I'm not as concerned with that as others are, because I've seen that with Flickr, for the most part, they haven't screwed up. They've done some things that aren't great around reassigning usernames, but for the most part, they've left Flickr alone. Yeah, and I think that's a good thing. And I think if they for the most part leave Delicious alone and keep it open, keep the data open, so other companies can pull the data out and use it, and slowly do things with it over time, I think that'll be really interesting. If they silo it and do things that they've done with Yahoo My Web 2.0, I think that they'll lose their user base extremely fast.
Now, do you think there's any chance of something like Delicious going mainstream where everybody starts using it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, bookmarks are mainstream. So, you know, I think just about everybody that uses a web browser has at one time bookmarked a web page, and that's functionality that's built into the browser. The only difference between that and Delicious is that when you bookmark it, you add a couple of words that describes, you know, if you want, you just add a couple of words that describes the page, which makes it easier later on for you to find that bookmark. I think it's easy for that to go mainstream. And if you look at what, like, Flock is doing, which Flock is building a new browser that's based on the Firefox code base, they're building that functionality right into the browser where I think it belongs. And I absolutely think it'll be as mainstream as using bookmarks are today.
You're at the Syndicate conference. So what's that all about?
I come here mostly to meet companies. So I sort of hang out in the hallways and try to track down CEOs who I haven't met yet to get demos of their products. But the most interesting thing I think happening at the conference is something I'm participating in is an effort that PubSub is leading around structured blogging. And one of the problems with blogging today, and also one of the benefits, is that there's no structure around the data. You simply write whatever you feel like writing. But if you happen to be reviewing a movie in your blog or selling an item sort of setting up a classified ad, it helps search engines and readers of your blog if you structure the data somehow, which really just means, you know, telling it that you're doing a review and putting some sort of structure on the data. And there's a big effort by, I think, 45 companies now to push a structured blogging initiative so that all these companies, blogging platforms and search engines and other companies can agree on a standard, and so that everyone can use the same sort of format. So it's sort of boring stuff, but I think it'll have a really big impact on the way people blog and the way that data can be found in search engines and interacted with.
So do you expect that people will blog and there'll be more structure and organization in terms of their postings?
Yeah, I think for mainstream users who use their blog to, they want to write about a wedding. Well, there might be a sort of a structured blogging template for them to do a wedding sort of overview, or to review a movie or a book or a song that they've just heard. Yeah, I think it'll make a really big impact. It'll probably encourage people to do more of that, which is a good thing.
And any big news out of the conference?
Nothing so far. I was sort of waiting to hear if Google Calendar would be launched or anything like that. There's a lot of buzz about Alexa's announcement last night that they're opening up their search index for mashups, and that's sort of the buzz right now. No other big announcements that I've heard, although quite possibly something could be announced right now as we're talking, and I wouldn't be hearing it. So
for someone who is new to RSS and subscribing to feeds, what services would you recommend? Because I know you often review different RSS readers on TechCrunch.
I would go, and I could name five companies, but I would start with Yahoo, and I would go and set up a Yahoo homepage. And you can add very easily, you can add content from websites that you like onto that homepage without having any technical knowledge whatsoever. And the example I gave before was adding the New York Times, which is probably the most favorite feed of everyone. And you'll find, if you do that, you'll find you'll get addicted to that very quickly, and you'll want to start adding content from lots and lots of other sites. After a few months, you might find that the Yahoo page is getting too cluttered. And then the nice thing is Yahoo has the next step in the product family, which is they've integrated with their online mail service a more advanced reader. And so that if you find that you're reading, 10, 100, 200 different websites every day, like the New York Times, USA Today, and a bunch of blogs, you can integrate it right into your email experience as well. And so without ever leaving Yahoo, you can sort of take the first two steps into RSS, and that'll get you at least 6 months or a year into the process. And at that point you want to go further and really get into reading blogs, then there's lots of other products out there as well. Atensa, Bloglines, Roho, Pluck. I mean, there's a million other companies at that time that you could look at.
So what's going to happen to all these websites after we're using readers and getting feeds in our email? Are the websites just going to go away, do you think?
I'm glad you asked that. So I have an opinion on that that not everyone shares. And I think, I mentioned before that I think a lot of the interesting stuff is going on at the edge. And so there's lots of content being created on blogs. But even when using RSS, it's really hard to monitor lots and lots of blogs at one time. And say more than a couple of hundred, which is what I look at every day. I think there's a number of services coming out that have seen this trend and are becoming middlemen in a really interesting way. They're not trying they're grabbing data from the edge. They're grabbing blog data, for instance, and they're repackaging it in really interesting ways, trying to find a way to make money off of that. There's some new sites that are becoming sort of cult favorites among bloggers. One of them is called Memerandum, and it's sort of hard to spell, but it's the word meme, M-E-M-E, and then orandum. And that's a way that what Memerandum does is it goes out to all the blogs and it looks at what the most popular stuff is being written about on blogs, and it pulls it into one page. And so if you go to that site and you're following blogs, you can see exactly what's popular that day. Stuff like that is really interesting, and I think services that find a way to take data that's being created on the edge, repackage it, and then distribute it out to anybody who wants it can find a way to be successful.
Great. That's very interesting. So for someone who wants to learn more about Web 2.0, they can go to your website. And you post fairly regularly?
I do. I think that if you're interested in the companies that are being launched, my website's a great resource. Wikipedia, that's the first place I'd start, is I go to Wikipedia and I do a search for Web 2.0 and I'd start there, and you can read about some of the technologies behind it. And just do a search on any search engine for Web 2.0 and you'll get everyone's opinion in that. That's another way to start to learn about it. But really, it's just, there's a lot of really exciting new web companies coming out in all areas, music, video, just pure text content, and there's some really interesting stuff coming out that I think some of your listeners might be interested in.
Very cool. Pretty soon we'll have Web 3.0 around the corner.
Yes, I have that domain name, so.
Oh, do you? Good for you. So it's techcrunch.com.
Yes.
And they can go there. They can read all your postings and all your reviews and find out what's happening and subscribe to your feed, obviously.
Great.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Michael. We'll let you get back to the conference.
Thanks.
That was Michael Arrington from TechCrunch and the syndicate. Is it syndicate or syndicate?
I would say syndicate.
Kit, but I'm not sure if it's Syndicate or Syndicate. It's tomato, tomato. I'm not really sure. But it was nice of him to sneak away and go into the ballroom and sit in a quiet place and join us to talk a little bit about what's happening at the conference and with TechCrunch and with syndication in general.
Coming up next week, we're going to talk to a developer, Ajax developer, who's done some amazing things.
Yes, this is going to be really cool. We're going to talk about Protopage. We're going to talk to Andre Perry from London, England, about Protopage, which is a really cool personalized homepage.
We hope you're enjoying Inside the Net. We'd love to hear your comments. You can email Amber at AmberMac. What do you want to use for your email?
They can email me at amber@ambermac.com if they have any comments. And I've received quite a few suggestions about people we should interview, so I have a long list of people we're trying to track down. So that's been really, really helpful.
This is actually too much fun. There's so many people we could talk to
about
this stuff.
It's
really great. And of course, you can email me at leo@thisweekintech.com. And our website is so far thisweekintech.com, although I think we might have to get an Inside the Net webpage if this keeps up.
Yeah, eventually you might have to break off and get a webpage just for Inside the Net.
We could use a little Ajax on it. That's the problem. You do a show about Web 2.0, you can't just have a plain, boring old webpage.
Maybe Andre can help us out after we talk to him next week.
Yeah, thanks to our friends at AOL Radio for providing the bandwidth and broadcasting the show on their podcast channel, AOLmusic.com. Thanks to you for joining us. We'll be back next week with Inside the Net.